Just saw several of our campuses, so could you help me welcome them today? We welcome all of you that are joining us at our different campuses today. My name is Eddie Couples. I'm the lead pastor for Love and Truth Ministries. I'm glad you're there today. I know great things have been happening. I also want to welcome all of you that are joining us by Facebook Live. They're telling me we've got people in Arkansas and Tennessee and California and Kenya and Philippines and Belize right now watching us. So we welcome you guys as well today. Glad you are here with us. We've started a series last week, and each week we're going to be watching a video from one of our campuses, and so would you just watch the screens right now.
My name is Christy Jones.
My name is Greg Jones.
We've been coming to Love and Truth Adamsville campus for a little over 2.5 years. Mm-hmm. We were looking for a home church. We happened to just be driving by, and we seen Love and Truth campus, and we talked about it and said that we might like to come. So one Sunday, we started coming.
Yeah, like she was saying, we were driving by just really looking. We went to a couple churches, you know, but it just seemed like just nothing just really fit or just was for us, you know. Just the biggest thing was just the interaction amongst the people and the interaction with our kids when we came here, you know. Just to see our kids worship, you know, that was a big thing. And when we came, you know, it was just took off, and the connect groups were great, you know, when we came in and got to know people then within the small groups that we were having, and it was awesome.
Coming to Love and Truth has changed our life in so many ways. It's brought us a lot closer together as a family, because this is somewhere we can come and worship together.
Like my wife said, it's brought us closer together as a family. You know, we're able to worship together. And, you know, it's like you have the freedom to worship, to be yourself, you know. It's like nobody's looking around to see what they're doing, or it just seemed like it's so intimate. It's you and God, you know, and that's the only thing that matters, you know. It doesn't matter what this person is doing to the left of you. It doesn't matter what this person is doing to the right of you, you know. It's just you in the presence of God, you know. And I sing on the praise and worship team. And just like she said, our kids are being fed. And my four-year-old, he came up to me the other day and he said, "Dad, I'm going to sing on the stage just like you when I get older," you know. So, you know, I think it's awesome just for our kids, you know. And it just, that's a really big thing for me, because our kids are being fed, you know. And that's the big thing with me, you know.
They see us worshiping. They get to see us worship. And so they know what it's like. Yes. They know what we do. They sit out front with us, especially in counter service. That's the very first thing that our children, that's the first Wednesday night service we came to, was in counter service. And that's the first time, at that time our son was 8. That's the first time we had ever seen him feel the Spirit of the Lord. Mm-hmm. Our pastor had called all the children up front to pray for him. And as he was praying over our son, tears just started rolling down his face, and he lifted his hands, and that's the first time that he has ever felt the presence of God. And as a parent, there's no feeling better than to know that you're getting fed and your children are getting fed, and it's just a place that you can call home for everyone.
Awesome. And that really is what it's all about in the local church, is that it's a place to fit. It's a place to belong. And as we talked about last week, that the greatest desire of all of us is to have that sense of belonging somewhere. We all want to make sure that we fit somewhere. And so over the next few weeks, we're looking at how that a local group of believers provides that. And so our setting of scripture is the book of Acts, the 2nd chapter. And I want to read this to you. I'll read just a little bit of it at first, and then we'll dig on into it as we move forward. Verse 42 says, "Every believer was faithfully devoted to the following the teachings of the apostles." I'm reading out of the Passion Version. It says, "Their hearts were mutually linked to one another, sharing communion, and coming together regularly for prayer." Now, what we see in this is that the New Testament church started off the process of coming together, of uniting together, of caring about one another, and as we see that, and one of the things that I've noticed through the years is when you use the word church, usually people think about a building, don't they? You say, well, I go to so-and-so church, and what that means is, well, I go to that building. building over there. Well, honestly, the church are the people. The church are those who are gathering together, the people who have made a commitment to be followers of Jesus Christ and who meet together on a consistent basis. In fact, the Word of God talks about not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, but that we need to do this on an ongoing basis. And what I've found through the years is that the church gives us some things, and that's what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about what does the church provide. If the church is a place for me, it's not just a place for me in God's kingdom, but if it really is a place for me to fit, what does it provide for me? And so when we gather, there are some things that happen when we gather together. The first thing is that it's a place of support. The local house of God is a place of support. In fact, what I read to you there said that every believer faithfully devoted to the following the teachings of the apostles, their hearts were mutually linked to one another, sharing communion, coming together regularly for prayer. And then it goes on to say, a deep sense of holy awe swept over everyone, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And then the next verse goes on to say that all the believers were in fellowship as one body, and they shared with one another whatever they had. In other words, they were concerned about one another. When we understand what the purpose of the kingdom of God is, then we begin to know that it really is about one another. And so let me just tell you some of those things about. First of all, it's about encouraging one another. How many of you like it when somebody comes up and says you're doing a good job? Right? I mean, some of you are looking at me like, I don't care. Right? I like to be told that I'm doing a good job. I like for somebody to say, man, Pastor, that was a good word today. You spoke something good to my heart today. We all need that. In fact, the New Testament talks about one another over 50 times. It says that you ought to pray for one another. It says that you should encourage one another. It says you are to exhort one another. I mean, just on and on and on, it talks about this one another. And here's what I found. I can't do one another if I'm at home by myself. Right? That it's the only way that that's going to happen, and the only way it happened in the New Testament here as the church began was that they had to come together. The Bible says they came together in the temple and they came together in their homes. As we heard on the video that today, the people said, you know what, one of the things that attracted me and one of the things that helped me was when I got into a connect group, when I got connected with other believers. And I want to challenge you, whatever campus you're at, not just to go to Sunday morning, but also to get involved in a connect group where you can find that place where you can be encouraged on an ongoing basis. But not only is it encouraging one another, it's also loving one another. All right? How many of you understand that loving one another means you got to put up with some stuff? Right? How many of you, let me ask it this way, because I hear this all the time. Well, preacher, I love it when they call me preacher. Well, preacher, I used to go to church, but you got to understand, I went to a church and I got hurt and they did this, that, or the other. If I were to take just a few minutes today, I don't think that there are any of us who have been involved in church for, 2 weeks. That wouldn't say, man, somebody sat in my seat, somebody didn't smile at me, somebody didn't treat me right, that there's that whole aspect. But the interesting thing is that the Word of God talks about that love bears all things. And the Scripture also talks about that love covers a multitude of sin. And so in the body, we've got to learn to love one another. In fact, the Scripture says it this way, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have love one to the other. Now, how many of you have some people in your family? Let's just do it this way. How many of you have ever been to a family reunion? How many of you, when you got to that family reunion, you saw a family member that was a little strange? If you didn't raise your hand, you're it. All I mean, we've all gone to those meetings and we look around and went, whoa. But it's family. And so we're going to love them anyway with their idiosyncrasies, all the things about them. And it's the same way in the body of Christ, is that the church is not about perfect people who have it all together. The church is about the scripture, the Greek word there is the ekklesia. It means the called out ones. You and I have been called out of darkness. We've been called out of sin, and we have been set apart unto God. And because of that, then we are to love. Why? Why do I love? Because God first loved me, and therefore I need to reach out in love to other people. And so as I do that, then I begin to see the goodness of God ministering throughout the body of believers. And not only should I love, I should also, the scripture lets us know, we should bear one another's burdens, okay? We should bear one another's burdens. Now, today, I hope you're on one of those mountaintop experiences today. I hope you're living the life that you've always wanted, that everything's clicking on every cylinder, that your life is just, it's just there. It's happening. Kids are happy. Wife is happy. Husband's happy. Plenty of money in the bank, whatever it is you need, you got it. But there are times. You ever been there? There are times that you're not here, you're here. There are times you're not on the mountain, but you're in the valley. There are times when it's not a great report that you can give, but you're kind of like the widow whose son has died, and every time somebody would meet her and they would say, how you doing today? She'd just say, it is well. She never said, my son's dead. She never said, it's bad. She just kept saying, it is well. She even got to the prophet, the scripture says, and he said, what are you here for and how are you doing? And she just said, it is well, but there's something going on. In our lives, sometimes we hit those places, but that's why we need one another, is because in those moments, somebody coming along beside you and just saying, you know what? I know you're going through a season. I know you're going through a time that you need somebody to be there, and I want you to know I'm praying for you. I'm there with you. If you need me, all you've got to do is call me. Here's my phone number. When you do that, we really are bearing one another's burdens. In other words, that we are looking for opportunities to be a blessing. Isn't it interesting how many people want to be blessed? I mean, if I were to ask people today, say, how many of you want to be blessed? Well, everybody. I mean, if you heard the question, yeah, I want to be blessed. Well, what's this? If I want to be blessed, then I need to learn to be a blessing. Because the Bible says that if you give, it'll be given back to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And it's not just talking about money. Whatever it is that you send out, whatever it is you give, God sees it, and he brings it back to you in abundance. And so if you want to be blessed, then learn to be a blessing. If you want to be encouraged, learn to be an encourager. If you want to be loved, learn to be a lover. Learn to be somebody who goes out of their way for someone else to bring them into your world, to love on them, to care for them, and to show them the love of Jesus Christ. Amen? Verse 45 shows us the second thing that we see here in this passage, and it says, out of their generosity, they even sold their assets to distribute the proceeds to those who were in need among them. The second aspect of the church, that place that is for you, is that it's a place of service, okay? The house of God, the people of God, it's all about being in a place of service. Now, let me talk a little bit about serving. I'm gonna kind of go through this quickly and then recap for you. Serving makes me more like Jesus than any other time I am in my life. All right? Jesus said it this way. He said, I didn't come to be served, right? He said, I came to serve. And so Jesus tells us, it's all about what you do for others. It's all about going out of your ways. In fact, Jesus said it one time. He said, if you do it to the least of these, he said, if you take care of the widows and the orphans and you visit those who are in prison, he said, if you've done it to the least of these, what did he say? You've done it as unto me. He said, if you'll go out of your way to serve. And so serving helps me to be like Jesus. Serving also allows my gifts and my talents to grow. A lot of times we use our gifts and our talents and our ability 5 and 6 days a week at the workplace, and we're all, you know, trying to get better and trying to grow more and trying to have this and try, and it's all fine to do that. But you know, one of the greatest ways to get your gifts and your talents to grow is to use them in God's kingdom. Because the same talents that will make you successful in life can also be used for the kingdom of God. And one of the aspects of that is this, is that serving pushes me out of my comfort zone. Serving pushes me out of my comfort zone. I don't know if you're like me. Maybe you're not. Maybe that there are a lot of you who have this, you just have a real high threshold of mercy and you just love to serve. There are a few of you here like that, okay? I'm not one of those people. My mercy gift's way down here, all right? I jokingly have said, I'm the one who somebody be there, lay there bleeding, and I go, could y'all clean that mess up? We got things to do here. All right, I'm not quite that bad, all right? But I don't have a high mercy. When I go to a restaurant, I don't want to get up and help them serve. Look, I'm paying, come. Why do y'all look at me like that? But the Word of God tells me that I'm to serve. And one of the aspects of that is this, is that serving pushes me. Serving gets me out of my comfort zone. And one of the things that I see happen a lot in the body of Christ is that people come into the kingdom of God and they're messed up. Their lives are jacked up. There are all kind of things going on. And so they come in and they get saved. But if we're not careful, then all we do is take in. We just take in. We take in. We take in. We take in. And it's kind of like, well, I'm just proud to be here. And it's like, well, God has saved me, and I'm here in this place, and I just hope that the Lord will do something good for me, but I don't think my life's going to get any better. Can I just talk to you for a minute? Would it be okay? Come on, 5 people say yes, and I'll go for it. All right, good. We've got to understand that part of the aspect of the kingdom of God is that we are called to move when we get saved. It's not, listen, if when you came to Jesus Christ, your life was messed up and you were broke and disgusted and busted and on some kind of an assistance and whatever, you shouldn't be praying, Lord, just increase my assistance this month. I just hope I get a little bit more. Come on, I'm preaching better than you're amening. My prayer should be, God, you always come to elevate. You always come to lift up. You always come to increase. You are the God of more than enough. And I refuse to be bound to what I was and where I was. God, you have called me to greater things. You have placed an anointing inside me. You have given me gifts. And I am going to get up out of this mess where I have been. And I'm going to move on up. And it may be to the east side, but I'm getting out of here. Goes back a day for some of you. We got to come to that place of understanding that the kingdom of God is always about lift. The kingdom of God is always about promotion. The kingdom of God, if you get in the kingdom of God, it's not just so you can take. It's not just so you can receive. It's not so you'll be satisfied just taking in. Well, whatever. No. That's what the Dead Sea does. And the Dead Sea is exactly that. It's dead. God has called us. God has put inside of you. God has given you gifts and talents and abilities. And those talents and abilities should not just be used to pursue things in the carnal world. Those things ought to be used in the kingdom of God, for the righteousness of God, for the power of God, and for the glory of God. God, I can make a difference. If I can make $1 million in the world, then I can make $1 million for the kingdom of God, and I can make a difference in people's lives, and I can be somebody who is not just always receiving, but I am a person who is able to serve in God's house and in God's kingdom to make a difference. Amen. I'm preaching too hard. The third thing is found in verse 46. Verse 46 says it this way. It says, daily they met together in the temple courts and in one another's homes to celebrate communion. The third thing that the church is about, the third reason that you need a local church and you need to be part of a local house, that there is a place for you in this house, in one of our campuses today, is because it is a place of worship. There's something that happens in worship that does not happen anywhere else. Now, let me say this. You can worship God wherever you are. Amen. I mean, you can worship God at your house. You can worship God at your job. You can worship God driving down the road. Right? Now, I just want to encourage you for the rest of us. If you are worshiping God driving down the road, please keep your eyes open. And don't be doing this. Have both hands on the wheel as you're worshiping. We would appreciate it. Okay? But you can worship God wherever you are. But what I have found is that there are some things that take place when we worship God. The first thing that happens when we worship is it helps us to encounter God himself. The Bible says it this way, that God inhabits, or he dwells in, or he lives in, the praises of his people. When we come together as a local body of believers, there's something that takes place that does not happen anywhere else outside of the believers coming together. And that is the presence of God says, I will be there. In fact, he said it this way, where two or three of you gather together in my name, there am I in your midst. Now, I don't know about you, but I have found myself struggling with certain scriptures at times. Anybody else have trouble with any scriptures? You know that scripture that says, turn the other cheek? Anybody have trouble with that one? Right? I just got some issues with that one. Got any trouble? Anybody got trouble with the one that says, if they smite you on one, let them give the... You smite me on one, I'm looking for a 2x4 to smite you back. Good King James verbiage there, right? If they tell you to go 1 mile, go 2 miles. If they want your coat, give them your cloak also. That, some of those, any of those bother anybody but me? It's like, really? There's another one that I've had trouble with. Can I just confess for a minute? Be all right. I'm not confessing your sins. I'm confessing mine. Be okay? I have an issue. I have trouble. Maybe it's not an issue. I have trouble with a scripture that says that we're to love the Lord our God with all our soul, all our mind, and all our strength. You say, well, Pastor, you mean... Now, I just saw some people look at me like, he's got trouble with that? We need another pastor. You may. I don't know about that, but... all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. Now, think about that. You're to love the Lord with all of that. Now again, maybe I'm the odd duck. I'm the one out on this. But that's hard to do. All the time. Every day. What I have found is that the time that I really do that is in times of worship. When I'm worshiping God, it's in those moments that he's got my mind, he's got my will, he's got my emotions, he's got everything about me. And I'm worshiping him with all my strength. And in that moment, it's like transcendent something happens and I encounter God. And when I encounter God, what happens is times of worship opens me to change. I don't know how honest I ought to be for some of you today, but there are some things about me that I don't like. Now, I know there are some things about me you don't like, and I don't need you emailing me all about it. I got it, all right? There are some aspects of who I am and how I'm wired that I just don't like. And some of those things through my life, you know, once the Lord kind of identified them, I was able to deal with them and move on. But there were other issues that were year after year after year issues. Don't come asking me what they all were. It's my business. And what I found is I you ever prayed one of those prayers, God, I don't know how, again, maybe y'all are more holy. God, if you'll just forgive me one more time. Ever prayed that prayer? I'll never do it. Oh, some of you have prayed that prayer. Okay. Just checking. Just I didn't want to feel all alone up here. Lord, it's as a child, even into adulthood, one of the things, and again, talk about me, not you, so you'll feel better. One of the things that I struggled with greatly was anger. I was very, I don't know why, I could say, well, this happened, this. I just had anger. I had anger issues. I had anger issues at such a level that, for instance, in the seventh grade, I got into a fight with a kid, with another boy in the bathroom at school, and got him down, and I beat him until he had a concussion. Yeah, they'd have put me in some jail or something in this society. And it wasn't, I don't know, he provoked me in a moment, and in a moment, anger came out, and he was bigger than I was and all the stuff. But that anger was so overwhelming in my life. And for years, even after I got married, after I was in ministry, think about that, anger would rule my life. And I would always say, I'm never going to do that again. And I'd do good for 6 weeks, 6 months, or a year. And then out of nowhere, I'd lose it. And I'd go back to God and I'd say, God, if you could forgive me just one more time, I'll never do it again. And I can't tell you the moment it happened. I can't tell you the day, the week, the month. All that I know is many years ago now, God did a work in my life. Oh, yeah, I can still get angry. All I got to do is get on 45 bypass. But it's nothing like what it used to be. Somewhere, I can't explain it, but somewhere in God's presence, I had one of those moments that the psalmist talks about where he said, Lord, create within me a clean heart and renew within me a steadfast, upright spirit. See, there are some things in your life, and I'll get off of this because I can tell we're identifying way too much. There are some things in your life that as much as you want to overcome them, they are a besetting sin to you. And David didn't say, because David had trouble. David had issues. He had woman issues and he had anger issues. If you don't believe it, read his life. And David said, God, something's got to happen and I can't do it. And I'm talking to somebody today and somebody needs to hear me, whether you're at a campus or right here, that you have said over and over and over and over and over again, God, I'm never going to do this again. I don't want to do this again. I'm tired of living this way. Lord, I confess to you, I'm by, and you get up the next day, I'm not going to do this. And it's only in his presence that it's ever going to change. That's why it's so important for you to be in the house of God on a continual basis. That's why it's so needful for you to show up when we show up. Because, who knows, it might be today that God shows up and in a moment does a creative work that only he can do. See, David didn't say, Lord, just make me better. David said, God, you've got to create something that's not there. Create within me a clean heart and renew within me a steadfast, upright spirit. Some of you today need to understand one of the most important reasons for going to the house of God is because in those moments of worship, in those moments of the Word of God, that God does a work in us that does not happen anywhere else. And yes, I can listen to Hillsong or Bethel or, you know, a Southern gospel group or whatever you're into. But it's in the moment where I come together with other believers that God says, now I can do something vitally important in your life and I can create something totally different for you. Let me wrap it up. Verse 47, I love that this verse is my favorite in this whole passage. They were continually filled with praises to God, enjoying the favor of all the people, and the Lord kept adding to their number daily those who were coming to life. And that's the reason I love the Passion Translation. I don't usually use it for sermons, but the reason I love it is because it talks about us coming to life. And I think it's in the sense of, yes, I'm coming to life, but it's also in the sense of that I'm coming to live life to its fullest, where John 10:10 kicks in. Thief comes, kill, steal, or destroy, but I have come that you would have life and it more abundantly. See, the house of God, the place that we gather into, the reason it's a place for you is that it's a place of salvation. And here's what I understand about salvation, and I hope that you do too, is that salvation is not just something that I need one time. Salvation is something that I need on an ongoing basis. Oh yes, I get saved from my sins. I got that. But salvation is a continual happening in my life. It is something that God is continuing to do. The Bible says that we are to work out our own salvation with fear and with trembling. And so it's not just enough to come to church and get saved or shake the preacher's hand or whatever it is that your tradition told you. It really is all about coming into that place where God can do something in your life. See, there are some things that happen when we come together where a place of salvation is. One of those is that the Spirit of God is present when we come together. We've already talked about it a little bit. But it's in these moments where God's Spirit is that things begin to take place. One of the things that we pray about all week long, and even when we gather in our groups who are here to serve that day, one of the things that we always pray for is that God, let your Spirit touch somebody today who needs you. Let your presence minister. Lord, it's not, oh, we're saved and we're ready to go and we're thankful for that. And God, we want to be encouraged and we want to be strengthened. But Father, before we leave this house today, let your Spirit minister to somebody that doesn't know you. And when we gather together in God's house, those things take place. Worship takes place in the house of God. It's needful. I know that our worship probably is different maybe than what you grew up with. Video last week talked about people coming from a different tradition than ours. And I love watching people. We come from so many spectrums at Love and Truth Church, and it's so interesting to watch. And I can watch. I can spot newbies. All right? I know when you're new, because the first week or two, you're just like, what in the world are they doing? What's with all the smoke and the lights and the drums and all that stuff? But if you hang around, you'll start liking it. And here's how I know you start liking it. I'll start looking around, and the first two or three weeks, you're checking it out, but the second week, you're doing this. Now, you don't do it much, but you do it like this. And then you kind of get all into it. But I know that we've had a breakthrough when you start doing this. It's what I call the carry the television anointing. Because we're worshiping, you know, we got our hands like this, and you're like, okay, it did. Let's see if I did this and lightning didn't strike, so let's do this. And so the carry the television anointing works for a few weeks, but I know we've got breakthrough when touchdown happens. It's like all of a sudden we've gone to touchdown. I go, yes! All those things are biblical, by the way. The Bible says in the New Testament, lifting holy hands without wrath and without doubting. Scripture talks about clapping to the Lord. Scripture talks about shouting to the Lord. All those are in the Bible. They're not something that we've added in. They're just in there, right? The Bible talks about playing a high-sounding cymbal to the Lord. I mean, on and on. All that's in Scripture. But you know what? It's just about worship. It's not about what we're doing when we're... It's just about worshiping the Lord, because it's in those moments that things happen. But one of the greatest things that takes place every time we gather together is that the Word of God is preached. It's not because I'm doing it. It's because it is the life-changing element for people. It is the one thing that truly will change your circumstances. It is the one thing that will take you out of darkness and put you into God's light. It is the one thing that will take you from being one who is away from Jesus Christ to being one who is in fellowship with Him. It is only through the Word of God that people can be saved. The Scripture says, how can they be saved unless somebody preaches to them? Unless somebody tells them the good news of who God is and what He has done for them. And my responsibility today as I close this sermon is to tell you this is a place for you. This is a place of love. This is a place of acceptance. This is a place of worship. But above and beyond everything else, it's a place of salvation. It's a place today that in just a moment, you're going to get an opportunity to ask Jesus Christ to become your Lord and Savior. And week in and week out, my greatest thrill is when somebody lifts their hand and says, I want Jesus in my life. Everything that I've worked toward, everything that the staff has done, everything that every volunteer has done is for that one person who says, I'm no longer going to go my own way, but I'm going to come into relationship with my God and my Savior. And so wherever you are, whatever campus you're at today, the greatest thing that can happen for you today is to ask Jesus Christ into your life. And if you'll do that, the Word of God says that if you'll ask Him to forgive your sin, that He is just and faithful to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And so that's my desire for you today, is to find a place in God's kingdom and to find a place in this house that you can be planted in. Amen.